Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on January 24th, 2016, and is entitled Giving Honor and Esteem in 2016, Part 4.
We are opening our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. If you didn't bring your Bible, would you go ahead and raise your hand up high enough so that somebody could put one of our church Bibles in your hand? We want to make sure everybody gets a chance to see that. How many know we could have time while you're handing out Bibles here for two jokes? Here we go. I heard of a pastor that did not want to go to church on Sunday because he wanted to play golf. So he told his assistant, I'm not feeling well, and then drove to another city to a golf course where no one would know him. So on his first tee shot, he drove the ball, and a wind just came up and drove the ball an extra 100 yards into the hole in one. And it was amazing, a 420-yard drive hole in one. The angel said to God, now why did you do that? He said, who's he going to tell? Uh-huh. Some of you that get the barrel on Sunday, who are you going to tell? Also, it's interesting, too. Another one, heard of the story. Pastor just so desirous to get the new sanctuary all remodeled and decorated out. So he told the congregation, the first person that gives $1,000 can pick the three hymns for today. And then a nice elderly lady in the back raised her hand and says, Pastor, I'll do that. And so he said, with just jubilee, said, really? Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so very much. You can pick the first three hymns. And so she stood, looked over the congregation, says, I pick him and him and him. Okay, all right. That's one way. Well, Father, we just love you and love your word and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Speak now, Lord, as you've already done. And we just feel so enriched because of our time with you and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. We take a look here. The title of our message is, it's part four of Giving Honor and Esteem in 2016. That is our theme for this year. It is developing a culture of care, a care not only for God, but especially for people. And that is our aim. So giving honor, which would be value, giving esteem, which would be respect. We've seen, as we were looking at in the epistle of 2 John chapter 8, 2 John chapter 8, he came to us and spoke, look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. And so as you look in your notes there, we talked about what it is to receive a full reward. And we're talking from heaven. There's going to be rewards in heaven, but how about just your answers to your own prayers, a full reward? He didn't say, let's make sure you don't lose those things you've committed yourself to so you get a partial reward. We're going for a full reward. And you can see here a full reward for those who value and respect others. Partial reward, because there's times God will give us some miraculous thing, a little bit of a breakthrough, would be for those who are selective in how they esteem others. And then there's no reward for those that treat God or his creation really with indifference. They're just not into that. And we realize that honor, the word honor means to put a value on, a deep respect. If you value something, you don't hide it. You go for it. The opposite of honor is really to dishonor, and that really means to almost pay no attention, no regard. In other words, to show no respect or value. I'm just going to blow right through this group, and I don't care. I don't care. I don't need them either. And that's disrespectful. So we've been looking here and seeing so clearly how we started last time, point number one, with regards to honoring God. Everybody say honor. Yeah, honor is so significant in Scripture. And why would we even want to honor God or people? How about people? Because God has paid the biggest ransom in all the universe for people. So every person has a measure of value. Every person. And so when we looked at God and we understood how in Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, we saw something because he came to his own hometown among his relatives, basically. And it said in verse 5 of Mark 6, he could do no mighty work except heal a few sick folk. In other words, a few headaches, maybe some minor backaches. Man, I want a full reward. How come he couldn't? We saw in verse 4, it says a prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own town folk, his own family. He got no honor. They basically said, that's not the way I'm thinking Messiah is going to come. And you and I may have thought of that too. That's not the way I think God should be, and I don't want anything to do with God. No honor to God. No honor to God. Regardless. I always love it. I'm grateful for my Catholic upbringing. At least it gave me a fear of God to some extent that kind of morphed into something much more healthy. But I'm grateful for that early days that my parents said, you will go to Mass. You will. Or you go to confessional. Well, I did that too sometimes. But that respect for God and that respect for people. And so as we look here, we take a look at number two, honoring men. And it's in Matthew chapter 10 that you can see. We're going to look at verse 40 through 42, but it's specifically verse 38. Let's start there. Jesus says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now let's look here, because just for a moment, last time we were together, we were looking at that word receive and turned it to what it should and should be, the word honor. Let's read verse 40 with that change out. He who honors you honors me. And he who honors me honors him who sent me. Now that's important to recognize that, because he's now going to go into the three levels of human contact that we all come in contact with. And how we approach people and honor them will determine whether you or I get a full reward, partial reward, or no reward, because total disrespect. So when we look here, let's go a little bit to verse 42. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's what? Everybody say reward. I see it, don't you? Whoever honors a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's what? Reward. I see it there. You do too. Verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you. He says, I'm really going to tell you. Assuredly I say to you, you shall by no means lose your reward. Or his reward. So, man, the Apostle John says, man, hang on to those things you know are true so that you get a full reward. How do we get that? Let's check it out. Because these are three levels of human contact that we will receive. Every one of us comes in contact with people in this area. The prophet, we'll look at each of that. Prophet represents people who are in authority over us. Could be people of the church, but naturally, anyone over us, like the president, governor, police officers. The area you see there, then you have a righteous man. Those are people that are on your level of authority. Those are your peers. Those are the ones you work with, should be working with, whether that's in area of ministry or in life. And then the little ones, can you see that? Those are the ones that are under your authority to take care of. Amazing how the Lord lays that out. And why would this be important to him? If you just slide to verse, let's go to Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. Verse 40, and then we'll get right back. But 25:40, because it's interesting here, he gives an example of when people get to heaven, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's a shock. It's going to be a shocker to them. Why? Because verse 37, they actually say that. Look at verse 37, same chapter. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? We didn't know we were doing this for you. Where were you in that mix-up there, God? We did not. And he said, I'm going to tell you, when you did it to the least of these, you actually did it to me. That's why, man, that's so important. Full reward, bam! And that's what we're talking about. This is a big one. And our theme this year is absolutely outstanding. Because as you take a look at putting value upon people, it will make a big difference in your life and approach in just dealing and seeing the miraculous. But let's take a look here, because as we note here, honoring men, there are a couple of things that are worth noting. Number one, those who are in authority over us, verse 41. And as we take a look, once again, let's look at Romans chapter 13. Can you find Romans 13? Let's go to the right of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, clearing, Acts. Let's go. There it is. Romans 13. Wonderful. Can you hear those Bible pages turning? Can we record that someday? I'd like to go to sleep like rustling leaves. Wouldn't you? Oh, it's a great sound. Romans 13, let's look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Let's pause. Check that out, because it says every authority is from God. Now, note there in your notes, that does not say they are godly in their behavior. So that's important. All authority is of God. The behavior is not. But just so you say, I just despise that person in authority because they just are so despicable in their way of handling people or life. But that authority is still from God. So what the Bible is saying, it's so clear. And as we recognize the importance of that, letter A, the civil authority, that is so important. So in this approach, we take a look. Look at verse 2 of Romans 13. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. Isn't that interesting? He's God's selected servant to take care of things to you for good. So we're talking civil authority. We're taking a look at people that are set up to bring civility to our civilization, some form of order. It says, as we, verse 4 says, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister. There it is again, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. They are God's ministers. There's the third one, attending continually to the very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Very significant when we take a look at that. Next time you see the blue and red lights in your rearview mirror and they're pulling you over because you're 15 miles over the speed limit on Lake Street, don't go rebuking the devil. You just plead for mercy. That's all. Just, I'm deserving of this and you're in authority. It's important. So if you go at the kingdom of God with a democratic mindset, it's great. Democracy is great for America. Man, it works good. But it doesn't work in the kingdom. We have a real king, a real king. He's not a figurehead king like in Britain. He's a real king with rule and order and authority, and he puts things in order. Therefore, it's important that we recognize all authority is from God. Now, that's why we want to give honor. So when you take a look, and I take a look at sometimes people, and say, listen, I'm not going to give you any respect till you perform the way I expect and am accustomed to receiving. We have to be careful. We should see beyond that person's bad behavior and see the authority. I see the authority. Somebody gave you that authority. Kind of like Jesus told Pilate, listen, you would have no authority except to be given you from heaven, and you're being used now to just take me to the cross. So it's in our approach, and you and I recognize when we are together, all authority, the Greek describes it in three ways. Authority is displayed in word, it's in action, and it's also in thought. Amazing. So we take a look here. How about our next one, B, family authority? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to Ephesians. If you're in Rome, Romans with me, let's go past 1 and 2 Corinthians. Find Galatians, one more, then Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. We'll start with verse 1. I'm in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's nice when you have parents that are in the Lord. But honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Check out those two. This is not a wish. This is a command. That's important for us. How much would we long? And if there's ever a thing that we would say, man, that's what I want in my life. I want to live long, and I want to have a successful life. That's the promise. You honor your father and mother. Now, that's, we're using the word honor there. The behavior may be bad, but there's authority behind that. And there's a whole nother issue that takes place there. But let's take a look at the promise, because long life and a successful life comes by knowing how to honor those in authority, and our children need to really enjoy that and see that and understand that. When somebody gets sick, some form of cancer coming on, they could almost say this and say, Lord, I rebuke cancer. I have always honored my father and mother, and I refuse to let this take me out early in Jesus. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's a promise here, a promise that you may live long and succeed. So when we look here, it's worth noting the problem with our society, we're trained to dishonor our parents. I have three children. They're now raising their own children. Praise the Lord. We got them married pretty early. And I'm telling you, there were things we would not let our kids watch, and some of them were family entertainment, because the kids, the actors, were displaying total disrespect for their parents. Total disrespect. And what ticked me off, at the end of the movie, they got their reward. A bicycle, the pet. What? No way. No way. I would much rather have them watch Righteous Killing. At least we read about it in the Old Testament, huh? Now you say, man, I am going to write Pastor Paul this week. What in the world is it? Come on. So you can imagine, I mean, if you were the devil and you wanted to screw up society, you get a bunch of talented actors together and show family that totally disrespects each other and total disregard for parents. And man, you're going to have a society of young people, maybe we're now in it, where they have no respect for authority, none whatsoever. In Deuteronomy 27:16 says this, cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Isn't that amazing? That's what the verse says. I'm not saying you don't say amen here, but that was God's directive. The Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 20. Ten Commandments. Can you imagine? Interesting, because murder is listed as the number 6. Very serious. Murder is very serious. Isn't that true? And you would think in the order of importance, God would list the top 10. The first 3, actually the first 4, deals with God. So it's important that we recognize that. Fourth is keep the Sabbath holy, but focus on God. Then it starts turning toward people. That's why Jesus said, love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself. You do those two, you'll keep the 10. So it's interesting. So murder's number 6. Stealing is number 8. Both are bad. Both are bad, right? And then all of a sudden, honor your father and mother is number five. So committing adultery is number seven. I've got this feeling that disrespecting mother and father is a more severe sin than murder and adultery. And some in church think adultery is, or even divorce, is the unpardonable sin. But we have to keep a little bit looking now at honoring people in our authority or over us. So important. Well, let's take a look here and go just a little bit further, shall we? Maybe one more. I'm telling you. Letter C, social authority. And an interesting, that would be bosses, teachers, coaches. Let's go to verse 5. Can you go a little further? I'm still in Ephesians 6, 5. The notes are there. It says very clearly, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the what? Yeah. So you can see here, these poor people, hey, honor even your boss at that time would be your master. I've got listed there 1 Timothy 6:1. It says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. That's the New King James. Worth noting. So we talk about honor so that we can get a full reward. Oh, it's so important. Taking a look at letter D, church authority, and thank you, Pastor Jim Walls. I heard did an outstanding job. I hadn't heard the message yet, but so many of you have been just lavishing gratitude toward Ainsley and me, and I want to thank you, Doctor. Thank you, and thank you, dear church. Sure love this church. So wonderful. But it does talk about, when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's find our way there just for a moment. 1 Timothy 5, because if you're ever in a place where you get to steward the resources of God, like on a church council, like on a board, it's important to recognize even those who are in church authority, because we want to rain the blessings of God on any fellowship. And as you look at 1 Timothy 5:17, says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. It's the only place in Scripture it says double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and a laborer is worthy of his wages. Now, I want to first say thank you, Hope Chapel. You have blessed. I feel well cared for. Our family's well cared for. This is not any form of grievance, but it is worth noting once again. It does look like it's appearing about a money issue. And I have sat down with church councils who are, let's just say, modest churches, thinking they'll have to shave the pastor's salary to make budget. And I thought, well, I just got to let you know, if you can stand in faith and see what God will do, honor that man or woman of God. Because if you shave that off, you might find this church will be in a poverty mentality for a long, long time. That's where spiritual people see the word and say, we will go for that and trust God. I like the New Living Translation says, elders who do their work well should be paid well. Contemporary English uses 1 Timothy 5 verse 17 and 18 says, church leaders who do their job well deserve to be paid twice as much. A modern translation, English version says, the elders who do good work as leaders should be considered worthy of receiving double pay. Wow. And I just know people would just say, well, may I barely make ends meet, but that's what the Word of God says. And I just want to throw that out there. But thank you. Reason why Hope Chapel's doing so well. And if you are with us in our annual business meeting, we have surplus. It's because you are honoring people and honoring those mere people just like you, but somehow find myself in a place of authority by God's design, and you recognize that, and God bless you. So I just wanted to just pause there for a moment. And I want to just say it would probably be a good place that we receive new members. Is that okay? Why would we want to honor people? Because God paid the biggest ransom ever for people. Biggest ransom in all of the universe. So we'll pick up where we're at there next time, and we'll see what the Word of God says again. And isn't it outstanding? What a theme we have. Why am I encouraging us to do what we're doing? So that we get a chance, once again, to see the Lord give you personally a full reward. A full reward. So significant. No partial reward. None feeble here at Hope Chapel. So as you stand to your feet, let me pray a blessing. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, bless each and every one as we go our happy way into Courtyard.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.